Our scripture reading today, and it's going to be an interactive scripture reading, so if you find the Taking It Deeper section in your bulletin, your part's going to be the words of the Master, so wait for the cue. From Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30, a parable about taking risks. Listen to these words of Jesus. It's also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one, he gave $5,000, to another, $2,000, to a third, $1,000, depending on their abilities. Then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled the master's investment. The second did the same. But the man with a single thousand dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. After a long absence, the master of those three servants came back and settled up with them. The one given $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. His master commended him. Good work! The servant with the 2,000 showed how he also had doubled his master's investment. His master commended him.
Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner.
The servant given 1,000 said, Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent. The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, for at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the 1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb. Throw him out into utter darkness. This is a story about God's abundance.
Good morning, everyone. Good to be together on this Reformation Sunday. 500 years ago this year, Martin Luther nailed his famous treatises or theses on the door of the village church as a way of protesting that the church could do better. We're really into the parables today. We've been all month, which is really about doing better, striking at the heart of what a faith is. And I hope that you'll walk with me in this puzzling, interesting parable about the importance of taking a risk for the right reasons. A few years ago, when I finally got serious about saving a little money and realized that I probably needed to talk to a financial planner, you know, for Jane and I to think about the day when we will eventually retire. It'd be good to have a nest egg. We've grown a little bit along the way. And some of you, I'm sure, have had such conversations. If you haven't, it's important to do. But I'll say that having a personal conversation about your spending habits before a total stranger is kind of an odd experience. Well, with our guy, he was a good financial planner, asked a lot of great questions. He looked at our bills and our savings and our spending habits and some of the ways that I waste money. He looked at my pension plan that most pastors are expected to pay into at some level, United Methodist Churches. And then he asked me how many years I thought I would still be working full-time and, you know, thought about that. And then he asked me, okay, and sir, beyond that, how many years do you expect to live? Which is always a weird question to be asked. So I told him, as many as possible. Then he said, Mr. Lane, we can invest your money and do a lot better than you're doing right now, but we'd like to know, with how much risk are you willing to live when it comes to your investments? How much risk? No one had asked me that before. But I have to tell you, that conversation that happened years ago flooded back into my consciousness this week when I was getting my mind around this story, this parable about the importance of risk-taking for the right reasons. Now, a little footnote about risk-taking. There are foolish risk-taking, aren't there? Probably all of us have been a part of a few of those over our life. And the path of moving from childhood to adulthood is probably learning to take the better risks or the more calculated risks. But it is also possible as we move through life that we quit taking risks at all. And I believe the strong words, even sometimes the sort of exaggeration that Jesus the storyteller used today, is to get our attention about sometimes you risk for the right reasons. This is true when it comes to money. It's true when it comes to our passions. And it's certainly true about our spiritual life. Today being Commitment Sunday, I really want to just laser focus in on the importance of extending ourselves, having skin in the game, and taking the right risks when it comes to helping our church, this great church, continue to thrive into a new year. But I want to say up front, too, that if you're a visitor today, I mean, it's always an odd thing to show up at a church and they're talking about pledging and raising money. I want to say, though, as a pastor, that even if you do not yet call Central your home church, I believe this story and this lesson today is for you, too. It's about all of us. All of us can reflect on where we hang our hat. What do we call our inner circle? What are the causes that beckon to us for serving? And to think about how we're investing there. Are we investing in the common good in a way that extends us? See, in Jesus' parable of the talents, the one talent guy was not held to be lower than the other people who had more money. He's not condemned for doing anything wrong, but he is called on the carpet for playing it safe and for doing nothing. He took his talent, his money, and he hid it in the ground, unwilling to trust God of stepping out and trying a new thing. I guess you could say that his screw-up, his sin, if you will, was a sin of omission instead of a sin of commission. What got him into trouble was not what he did, but what he didn't do. The really good news about the gospel, about God's grace, is that it's not limited to today's parable. This message that Jesus came proclaiming to the world is that eventually everyone will be invited into the kingdom. But for these few moments, when we're looking at one of the oddest parables of them all, I'll admit, it's a chance for us to think about the tragedy that occurs when someone just digs a hole in the ground and doesn't participate in God's great experiment, where, like all religions, we learn that when you give your gifts away, that's really what broadens them and deepens them and expands them, is the giving away of ourselves. You know, one of my favorite poems of all time comes from the mind of the novelist Marge Piercy. It's a poem about people who are all in, who take a risk, who show up and stay until the work is done. And you know people like that. Many of you are those people. I have to tell you that I've used this poem at more than one funeral when I presided to pay tribute to somebody who really seemed to be very dedicated to neighbor and family and God. The title of it is To Be of Use, which I decided to title my message to you today. Would you give a listen to one of the stanzas that means something to me and see if you don't agree with me that I think today's parable is written all over this poem. Imagine one day these words being able to be spoken about you. The people I love the best jump into work headfirst without dallying in the shallows, and they swim off with sure strokes almost out of sight. I love people who harness themselves, an ox to a heavy cart, who pull like water buffalo with massive patience, who strain in the mud and the muck to move things forward, who do what has to be done again and again. I want to be with people who submerge in the task, who go out in the fields to harvest, and they work in a row, and they pass the bags along, who are not parlor generals and field deserters, but they move in a common rhythm when the food must come in or the fire be put out. You know, our Jewish neighbors have a term for people who are fully committed to making the world better over their life. About making the world better off because they pass through it. The Hebrew term is tikkun olam. Tikkun olam, and in Hebrew it literally means to repair the world. To leave a little more compassion and mercy and justice behind in the time by the time we've left this world. To have sweat like water buffalo with massive patience, and to have taken the risk to put ourselves out for all the right reasons. And I think people who are spiritually alive do this all the time. And often these are the people who are remembered for it and are eulogized with loving words after they've gone. Tikkun olam. You can learn a little more about this, a really cool concept that Jewish folks talk about. I include a little paragraph in one of the panels in the bulletin. I think the greatest stories that have been told often are about people who worked on their tikkun olam, of leaving the world better than they found it. I think the greatest novels, the greatest movies, the greatest opera are often about people who maybe did not have that at first but were challenged and gave themselves to something greater than themselves. That's tikkun olam. A few years ago, Dennis Quaid, the actor, was the lead role in a movie called The Rookie. I wonder if any of you saw it. It's based on a true story. And I thought as I was preparing today's sermon, hey, it's World Series week. Let's have a baseball illustration. So in the movie, The Rookie, Dennis Quaid's character is actually a baseball coach for a school in a little town, little not much happening town in western Texas. You learn as the story goes on that he's teaching baseball to boys now. It's a team that's not very good, and the boys don't have much confidence. And you find out that the coach himself had once had visions of maybe making it to the majors, but it never panned out. He kind of gave up early on, and now he's his teacher, a coach. And as he's trying to get into this first season, you can see the boys don't really believe in themselves very much. They don't put themselves out into practice. Finally, one day, as the coach is throwing balls to the boys for batting practice, something kind of miraculous happens. He starts being able to throw the ball faster and with greater accuracy and variety than he has in years. The boys notice it immediately, and they're all excited. Coach, it's amazing. You're throwing the ball so fast. You should go and try out for the majors again. Yeah, right, he rolls his eyes. So he makes the boys this pact, this challenge that he thinks he'll never have to make good on. He says, okay, you boys, you start acting like a real team here, and you play every game this season your best, and if you come back with the district pennant, I'll promise that I'll try out for at least one of the minor leagues. Well, the boys get to work. You can imagine how the story takes off. The boys get together, they give their best, they practice extra. They come home with the pennant by the end of the season. As they're holding it, they say, okay, coach, it's your turn. And what happens in the next portion of the movie is a couple of great breaks happen for him. But it's an amazing story about a man with a wife and three kids at home who thought his dream had already passed him by. He's not only picked up by a minor league team, but this man is able to pitch in the major leagues for two seasons. His fear of failure gave way to the joy of using his talents to the best of his ability. He gave more than he received. Tikkun olam. Over my 9 years with you, I've gotten to see many ways that you invest yourselves. I've come to see how you take risks for the right reasons. I've seen how you make ministry happen here. I think it's why a whopping 63 people have joined our church over the last 12 months. Did you know that? You really ought to be proud of that. Because people see ministry happening here. They see things happening here in our midst. They see a healthy church. But doing life alongside you, I've also watched how you don't just invest here. What you do in the community is known. I see how you mentor kids at Willow Hill School, how you serve as big brothers and big sisters, how you rolled up your sleeves to make the Safe Harbor building happen, Father Fred, the Nature Conservancy, local politics. I see the things you do. I know that even our youth tell stories of how they felt compelled to reach out to a kid having a hard day at school. You're making life happen. You're elevating life. You're investing. You're Tikkun Olam. So today, I call out all that risk-taking behavior in the name of love. As we bring our commitment cards and our pledging into a new year, and risk for the right reasons. If you're visiting us today, I know it might feel like, oh gee, I really didn't come prepared for that. But I think even you, even like on this commitment card, you could write down, God, here's where I feel called maybe to be more invested in my life somewhere. So there's two pieces of paper that we're talking about today. Is we're going to prepare in just a few minutes as a church to come down and to put gifts in this basket. It's a way of saying in the new year, God, we are extending ourselves. We want it to be a great year again. One of the pieces of paper is a full sheet that is in your bulletins there. It's not exhaustive, but I tell you, every time I look at that, I go, wow, we got a lot of places people can plug in. It's ways to work on your spiritual life. You might look at it and think, yeah, I've never plugged into the men's group. I've never been a part of a Bible study. Maybe this is the time. And I want to say, if you're someone who's reluctant to join something, even if you find, I could be even curious about one of those, check a box. It's a risk to even show curiosity, even if you're not yet ready to commit. That's okay. The other card is this one. It's about making a pledge about our money for the coming year. And I know that's a risk too. You know, does any of us here know what the stock market is going to do in the new year? What the economy is going to do in the new year? No. But that's what makes making a promise a beautiful thing. It's tinged with a little bit of a risk for the right reasons. If you're like me on some days, playing it safe by investing only a little treasure or a little imagination, this day is a chance to maybe be stretched and to take on a little bit of a challenge. And if you've been coming here a number of weeks, I'd say step up. What might you do? It might be something that opens up some doors in your spiritual life. Imagine all of us here, when it comes to our part, being risky investors for the right reason, in the best sense of that word, by leveraging our gifts for a great dividend that will not only enrich us, but it'll enrich this community. Whether you're 12 or 92, you have gifts to share. Whether you're employed or unemployed or retired, you have gifts to share. Whether you've had a sheltered life up till now, or you find this is the hardest chapter of your life right now, you still have gifts to share. I'd like us all to put on paper and walk down this aisle in a moment as our way of saying, I'm in. And as Dale said earlier, it is possible and it's really fine for you to privately mail this into the church office, but there's something that ministers to us all when we walk down an aisle and see others are wanting to invest in the same kind of movement of what God is doing. So these two pieces of paper, I've mentioned the full sheet and then this one. This is the way I want movement to happen today. I'd like us all to move to the outer aisles. Don't you in the front come to the middle. Move to the outer aisles. I want us to go to the back. Tom's got a great piece of music he's going to play on the organ that'll create a little bit of lightness to our step. You might even want to skip your pledge down. That would be just fine. If you're up in the balcony, you might think, I want to personally bring my card down here also. If you brought money gifts today or loose change for our missions offerings, all of it's going to come down here. But if you'd rather not do the steps, it's okay. The plates will be passed up and down the row. You can simply give it to the usher, and they'll be bringing it down on your behalf. Feel free to make that work for you. If you're someone for whom mobility is kind of a challenge, you could give it to a neighbor of yours, and they'll bring it down on your behalf too. But I really think this is a stand-up, stand-out moment every year for us as a church. So we get to show our time, our talent, our treasure. We want to take a risk for all the best reasons. Amen? Amen.